You have your Bibles today. You can be finding John chapter number 13. John chapter 13. I'm going to speak on this subject this morning. How does God know we love Him? How does God know we love Him? John chapter 13, and I'm going to read it. We're going to look at that whole chapter, but I just want to read a couple of verses. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. The Bible says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." May the Lord bless the hearing and the reading of His word this morning. If you remember last week, we preached on this subject, how do I know God loves me? How do I know God loves me? And we said we know because, number one, the scripture tells us that God loves us over and over and over in the Bible. The Bible tells us that God loves us. Another reason we know that God loves us is because of the sacrifice. You remember that? He paid dearly on the cross. And we know that God loves us because of the sacrifice that He made. And another reason we know that God loves us is because our sins have been erased. If you've been born again, you've been saved, and you've asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins, they're gone. As far as the east is from the west. Excuse me. So today we're going to talk on this topic, how does God know we love Him? Love's hard to explain. I'm going to go ahead and say that before I get started. It's hard to express. Even romantic love is hard to explain. I remember when I fell in love with Sharon, we were just youngins. I was probably 16, she was, and I couldn't explain that type of love. I never felt anything like it. I felt like a beagle puppy in a pen with a rabbit. You'll know, love's a wonderful thing. I remember when I kissed her the first time. We were in middle school, and we were sweethearts, and I remember having those chills go all the way down my back. I was in love. I'm going to tell you, I couldn't eat. I had those what you call goo-goo eyes, and I just couldn't explain it. And I know that you've had that feeling as well. But love is hard to explain. And I'm talking about romantic love. But how much harder is it to explain the love of God? I mean, when Jesus said this, He said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I loved you." And then He goes on to say, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." So I'll just go ahead and say this morning, this text that we're studying today is a great example of love. Jesus here has given us an example, and there's just a few things that I want to mention this morning, and I'll give an invitation, but how does God know that we love Him? Here's number one. God knows that we love Him if we are selfless. Look what the Bible says in John chapter 13, verse 4. Talking about Jesus here, the Bible says He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. So let me give you a little bit of the background, what's going on here. In Bible times, they did something called foot washing. Some still do it today. It's biblical. They wore sandals in that day. The streets in that day were dusty. If you came home, especially to a well-to-do home, there would be someone there to meet you, and they would take your sandals off, and they would have a bowl of water, and a slave or someone in that house would have some kind of an apron on, and when you would come in, they would slip your sandals off, and this person would get down on their knees, and they would take that cool water, and they would begin to wash your feet, and then take that towel that they girded themselves with and dry your feet off. And here in the Bible that I'm reading from today, guess what happened? Jesus did that. The Bible says they had supper. I still eat supper at nighttime, and I get it from the Bible. Some people have dinner. I eat supper. The Bible says after Jesus eats supper, Jesus got up, and the Bible says he removed his outer garments. He girded himself with a towel, and that's the apron that a slave would wear. And get this now, Jesus, the creator of the world, the Lord, the one who made everything, got down on his knees and began to wash the disciples' feet. I couldn't help but think when I studied this about Philippians chapter 2, where the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, the form of a slave, and being found in the fashion as a man," the Bible says that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Oh, I couldn't help but think about this as I studied. Jesus laid aside his dignity, but he didn't lay aside his deity. He laid aside his splendor, but he didn't lay aside his servant's heart. He laid aside his majesty to get on his knees and wash his disciples' feet. Jesus came to earth to serve, not to be served. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. And we're talking today about selfless love. You know, we're in a society that wants to lift up self. Muhammad Ali said, "I'm the greatest. I. We live in a society today where it's all about me, isn't it? We live in a society today that is full with people that are in me-ism and self-ism. It's my way or the highway. And I'm the biggest, I'm the best, I'm the greatest, I'm self-sufficient, self-glory, self. That's the age in which we're living today. But Jesus, the one who set the example for us, said no to self. Jesus laid aside that self-ism that he might serve others. I love what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Let a man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Can I tell you, Jesus set the example? One way to let God know you love him is by living a selfless life and to love and to serve others. Here's number two. God knows that we love him when we have a steadfast love. A steadfast love. Look what the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 13. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them until the end." You talk about a steadfast love. Listen, in a few hours, Jesus would be crucified. In a few hours, he was headed yonder to the cross. But his focus was on love. I mean, Let's just get honest this morning. Most of us would have been saying, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to wash the disciples' feet. Listen, Jesus was going to the cross. The Bible says then, verse 1, he knew what was coming. He knew where he was going. He was headed to Calvary. He didn't have time, but Jesus didn't think about that. Jesus focused on his disciples. The Bible says Jesus knowing. I mean, he knew what was coming. He knew that Gethsemane was just a few minutes away. He knew that the old rugged cross was there, and he would be there in just a few moments. He knew the shame that he was fixing to endure. He knew the rejection. He knew the humiliation that he was facing. Knowing, the Bible says, in a few hours, God the Father would place all of the sins of the world on him. Yet, his mind was on the disciples. There he is. I'm talking about Jesus, the Lord of creation. There he is, knowing what's going to take place in just a few moments, is loving the disciples, washing their feet. Can I say this? Real love is steadfast love. It's easy to love everybody when everybody is lovable. I mean, it's easy to love people when they love you. But you know who Jesus was loving? Get this now, look at me. Jesus was loving Judas. He was one of them in that group. Judas was in the crowd, and Jesus knew. Jesus is all-knowing. Jesus knew about Judas. The Bible says that Satan had entered into the heart of Judas, and yet Jesus knew all this. He was there washing the disciples' feet. The Bible says that Jesus washed the feet of Judas, the one who would betray him, and he knew it, yet he washed his feet. Listen, I'm talking about a steadfast love. A steadfast love, one that don't just love because somebody loves you. I'm talking about one that loves unconditional. I wonder this morning, do you have that steadfast love? Didn't Jesus teach us to have that kind of love? Jesus taught us to love our enemies and to do good to them that don't do too good to you. Steadfast love. I wonder this morning, do you have that kind of love today? Do you have that love that doesn't change just because of circumstances? I asked myself that question this week as I studied this. Many times we excuse ourselves, but a steadfast love is what Jesus wants us to have. How does God know? You ever thought about it? How does God know that you love him? Here's number three. God knows you love him when you serve others. Look what the Bible says in verse 5. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. I believe God knows we love him when we serve others. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, my little children, let us love not the world, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Can I tell you something? When you serve others, you're usually the one that gets the blessing. The Bible says don't just love in word, but to love in deed and in truth. Jesus is literally doing something. He got up from the supper table, and he girded himself with that apron. He began to wash the disciples' feet. He was serving, and Jesus gave his disciples what they needed at that moment. What they needed at that moment. You know, if you love me, you're not going to give me what I want, because many times what I want is not what I need, but what I need is not what I want. I'm not going to read that again, but I was thinking about it. You know what I need? I need a boat so I can go fishing. I went out in a kayak with my oldest son Friday. And Saturday morning, I couldn't even move. I couldn't hardly get out of bed. I thought I was having a heart attack. My chest muscles was hurting. My arms was hurting. The wind was blowing that day, and I told Sharon, I need a boat. I need something with a motor on it. My daddy used to tell me this, boy, you need a spanking. He's right. I didn't want one, but I might have needed one. You know what I thought about? What did Judas deserve? Did Judas deserve to have his feet washed by the Lord? I mean, what did those disciples deserve? They didn't deserve their feet to be washed. You know what was going on right before that? They was wondering who's going to be the greatest. Jesus didn't give them what they deserved, but he gave them what they needed. They needed his love at that time of their life. And that's what love does. Love gives what is needed. It's called a serving love. I heard this story about a preacher who went to a restaurant one time for breakfast, and the lady said, would you like a menu? And he said, yes, ma'am. And she said, would you like a cup of coffee? And he said, yes, ma'am. And she said, you ready to order? And he said, yes, ma'am. She said, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. Is that all you can say is yes, ma'am? And he said, yes, ma'am. And she was rude to him. And he went ahead and ordered, and she just kind of got the food and just throwed it at him, and he ate it, and she had a mean look on her face every time she'd come by to fill up his tea, and he finally ate all of his food, and when he got up to leave, he put two $1 bills and a $100 bill by the plate, and he walked out. And this lady saw, you know, she saw what the man had left there, and she said, hey, you left something on the table. You left some money on the table. He said, don't people tip around here? And she said, yeah, but you would give me a tip like that after the way I treated you? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, I don't understand that. Why? And the guy said, well, I looked at you and I knew that there must have been some kind of problem in your life. I knew that you must have been hurting. And the lady began to cry and she said, mister, you don't know what I've been going through. I got up this morning and my baby was sick and I had to go to work and I don't have a husband, and on the way to work, my car broke down, and I don't have the money to fix my car, and I was late for work, and my boss man chewed me out. And the man said, well, I knew you were hurting. That's why I left you the money. I thought about it. Most of us would have said, she don't deserve a tip. She was rude, she was mean, and she probably didn't, did she? She didn't deserve that tip, but that man didn't give her the tip because she deserved it. He gave her that tip because she needed it. You see, listen, that's what love is. That's what a steadfast love is. Real love doesn't give people what they deserve. Judas didn't deserve to have his feet washed by the Lord Jesus Christ. In just a few moments, Judas was going to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Those disciples didn't deserve what Jesus did for them at that moment, but Jesus knew at that moment that was the thing that they needed, and that's what Jesus did. And it was a small thing, just bending down and washing some feet, but it was a humbling thing. And you know what? We've got a lot of jobs around the church. Just simple jobs. Jobs like working in the nursery. Jobs like helping out with the youth. Man, the youth went to see Toby Mac Friday night. Had a blast. All of them. I believe the adults loved it more than the youth did. Listen, that's what church is all about. getting folks involved, having something for our young people to do so they won't get in the wrong trouble, they won't get in the wrong place and get into trouble. We need to have things like that. We need to have more things like that, but it takes people. It takes volunteers to do that. Just simple jobs, van drivers, greeters, parking lot folks, security, more people to visit shut-ins, people to teach Sunday school classes. I've been praying, and please pray with me. I've been praying about a new Sunday school class right here at Northside to reach some of the younger people that are not involved in Sunday school. And listen, Sunday school is so very, very important. That's where people come together and begin to love one another, and they share each other's needs, and we've got a spot where we could be reaching some younger folks. So pray with me that we can find somebody to fill that position. Listen to me. I am afraid. Somebody told me that this week, that the church has become too starched and too ironed. I mean, we think we got to come in here and act so sophisticated. Listen, Jesus laid aside his garments and got on his knees and washed the disciples' feet, the Lord of glory. We've done got too sophisticated, hadn't we? Man, we got a tie so tight about to bust a blood vessel. You know what? People used to fill the altars. When's the last time you've been to an altar to pray? I remember when I first started going to church, man, when the invitation come, the altars were full of people weeping and praying over lost people and praying over people in their families. We've got too starched. I remember when people didn't mind praising the Lord, saying amen. Listen, saying amen's okay. It helps me. The Bible says Jesus laid aside his garments and he served. Can I tell you, real love is serving? God knows you love him when you serve others. As I close, I want you to just imagine with me, okay? This is something that I just want you to think in your mind. I want you to imagine if Jesus Christ walked through that door right there, I mean in a bodily form, and he walked right in that door and came down that aisle, and we knew it was Jesus because we could see the nail prints in his hands and in his feet, and he's here. He came right in Northside Baptist Church, and he had a towel around his waist. Just imagine. And he has in his hand a bowl of water. And you know it's Jesus. And then he walks up to you. I'm not going to call any names, but he walks up to you. And he looks into your eyes. Can you imagine that? Looking into the Lord Jesus' eyes. And he looks right at you. And you're right there. You're face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's just imagine that he asks you a question. And he says to you, "Sir, ma'am, may I wash your feet?" What if he said that to you this morning? I mean, literally, in body. He walked in this church and he came right up to you and he said, "Ma'am, sir, may I wash your feet?" How would you feel? Man, I thought about that. I don't know what in the world I would do. I mean, to have the Lord God in the flesh, I mean the one that created the world, the one who died for us, to ask you a question like that, "May I wash your feet?" If you would probably say something like this, "Lord, no, not my feet. Go wash somebody else's feet." But you remember Peter said that. Peter said, "No, Lord, not my feet, but someone else's." And you know what he said to Peter there in verse 8. Peter said unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet, Lord." And Jesus answered and said, "If I wash not, thou hast no part of me." How would you feel? How would I feel? I don't know what I would do. Maybe I would start to cry. Maybe I would say, "Yes, Lord, You can wash my feet. Can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine the Lord taking your shoe off? And he has that bowl of water, and a little basin of water, and he began to wash your feet. And you looked down and you saw the nails in his wrist there where he was hung to a cross. You could see all that. Could you imagine? And how would you feel if he finished your feet and then he said, "Sir, ma'am, would you like to wash mine?" What would you do? You look down at those feet and you've seen those nail prints where he was nailed to that cross. You look down at those feet and you saw the feet that walked the dusty roads of Galilee. You look down at his feet and you saw the feet that never walked toward sin. You look at his feet and you saw the Lord of glory. You would say, gladly, Lord, I would wash your feet. I would be honored to wash your feet. I would be blessed. You would probably be crying. And you would say, I would lovingly wash your feet. That's just imagination. Lay imagination aside just for a moment. And let me say something. Jesus is here. He's here this morning. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. You say, "Preacher, I don't see him." No, I don't see him either. But by faith, I know that he's here. The Holy Spirit is here. He's here this morning. And you know what? He might not wash your feet, but let me tell you something. He wants to wash that sin away. If you're in here today and you're lost, listen, he wants to save you, and he wants to wash all of that ugliness, all of that sin, all of that regret that you have, all of that old evil stuff that the devil throws up at you each and every day. He wants to wash that away. He wants to forgive you. You know what else he wants? He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to pray. He wants you to be obedient. He wants you to read his word. That's how he speaks to us today. The Bible says a new commandment that I give you is that you love one another even as I have loved you. Just suppose we took a test today and God given the test, and God says to you, "How do I know that you love me?" Could you write down that you're selfless? Selfless? Could you write down that you're steadfast? You're not off and on, but steadfast. Could you write down that you serve others? What about you today? Does God know that you love him by the way you live your life? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name we come to you today. Lord, we always say we love you. But Lord, you know our hearts. You know, Lord, whether we love you or not. You know, Lord, whether it's just words that we're speaking or if it's the truth. You know, God. And I thank you that we serve a Lord that knows everything. And God, I pray that this invitation today, people would examine their hearts, not worried about who's sitting next to them or who's over there, but Lord, I pray today that we would examine our hearts. And Lord, see if there be anything in there that's keeping us from being all that we can be for you. Lord, if there is, show it to us today. Lord, help us to realize it. Convict us, O Lord. And Lord, then give us the strength, the power to confess it to you and be all that we can be for Jesus. Lord, speak to hearts today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing.